Turning tonight to the first letter of John, the first letter of John, chapter 1, and I read verse 5. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Light versus darkness. That's our subject tonight. Light versus darkness. Light in opposition to darkness. My dear friends, can I praise this letter to you tonight, before you tonight? It is a colossal. It is a monumental letter. Why? Because it comes with many, many pastoral and practical lessons. We are only dealing tonight with the subject of light and darkness. But it is really just 5 chapters, but it should be more studied. Because as I told you many times, it gives us all the signs. How do you know you are a Christian? How do you know somebody is a Christian? What is the evidence? Should you make up just your mind by external arguments and reasons? No, no, no. There should be spiritual tests, spiritual reasons that make somebody to be a Christian. Remember, Christ said, not all who say, Lord, Lord. You know, people can say with a vibrant ways of saying those things, but really, they are far from the Lord. But here we are. And it is interesting in verse 5 there. Look at it again. This is the message we have heard. 3 times now you have that word heard, heard. In just the last 5 verses, heard, heard. And 3 times also you have the verb to declare. 3 times. But again, as I said, we have here darkness and light contrasted and applied. We are looking for the applications, really. We should spend most of our time looking at those applications tonight. But before we get there, oh, this is the message we have heard and declared. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave that message. But Christ himself is the message. And he gave the message to his apostles that they may pass it on. And that's why they gave us the books of the New Testament. They gave us those books because that's the message. But here you can see that Christ is the message. He created light. And he's superior than light, than any light, Christ Jesus. And he's the full and comprehensive meaning of light. And that's how you have to look at the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 5 again, this is the message we have heard of him. Him there is the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are the basics? The basics of this message tonight for us, the ABC of that message. This is really what we are looking for. And remember, my brothers and sisters, the Christian faith is about light and truth. That's what distinguishes the Christian faith with anything you hear in this world. It is about light. It is about truth. And this is what we see in this marvelous letter. And Christ is the dispeller of darkness. The dispeller of darkness. You read it. We can really spend the night tonight, the short time we have, just quoting verses from the Old Testament and the New Testament, speaking about the light of Jesus Christ, the light of God, the light of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible is a book of light, not darkness. So look at it. My first heading, My first heading, God is light. We are looking at the basics of the message. Number one, God is light. And I will cover it in two elements here. God is light. There is the positive element and there is the negative element. Look at it there in verse 5. Oh, Christ, the Son of God, is the light of the world. You know the passage, my dear brothers and sisters, John chapter 8, verse 12, Christ said, I'm the light of the world. I'm not a light. The light, the only light, is the brightness of God's glory. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The brightness of his glory. So the positive, number one, when we speak about God is light, look at it in the passage. The positive there. This is one of the great God is of the Bible. You know, again, we can tell you many of the God is love. In Numbers, we read that God is not a man. We read in Hebrews that God is a consuming fire. And so on, many of them. We read in the Old Testament that God is the everlasting God. We read that God is jealous. But here, John is telling us, God is light. God is light. And God is not dim. You see, there is no dimness in God. He is light and has always been light. Nobody can stand in this world and say, I have always been light. No, no, no. We all come into this world. John chapter 1, it's all there again about the distinction between darkness and light. Jesus Christ came as the light of the world, and John came to witness about the light. He himself was not the light. But Christ has always been light. Always. He existed before any light was formed. He is the infinite and everlasting light. You know, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6 there, I believe it's verse 16, that God dwells in the light which no man can approach. No man can approach unto. And you know the passage in James chapter 1, verse 17, we read that God is the Father of lights. Lights, plural. If you see any light in this world, it comes from God. If you see any perfect gift in this world, it comes from God. So, you know that in Genesis chapter 1, the first command God gave at the beginning of this universe, at the creation of this universe, what is it? Let there be light. Let there be light. So you see, light is the very nature of God. And any light you see in this world must come from God because he's the creator of light. So light is his very nature. He doesn't, you see, the God of the Bible is contrary to the God of Islam. There is no bright and dark days in the God of the Bible. He has no moods, you know, up and down. He's not moody, unchangeable, unchanging. The immutability of God. He cannot change. And this is what we know about Jesus Christ the Lord. He is inalterable. You cannot alter the person of God. You cannot falsify the person of God. And you see, we see the moon. When you look at the moon has no light. Do you know that? The moon is only a reflection of the light of the sun. But Jesus Christ is not the reflection of any light. He himself is the light. He's not a reflection. You see, you and me, we have been created in the image of God. But Jesus Christ is the image of God. meaning he is God. So you see, all those things are here in the expression, God is light. When God revealed himself to Moses in the book of Exodus, there are many, many passages. He revealed himself to Moses in a light. In a light. And you know the passage, it is often read during Christmas time. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, the people sitting in darkness saw a great light. Who is that light? The Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And you see, light speaks about glory. Light speaks about purity. Light speaks about perfection. Light speaks about holiness. Where there is light, light will reveal impurities, the dross, the dirt. Light will reveal that. So that is why we need the light of God. Light is a revealer. The light of God reveals our sins. And the Bible is really a book of light. You know the passage. Again, I tell you things you know, my dear friends. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp at my feet and a light at my feet and a lamp, or the other way around. You put it for yourself. A lamp at my feet and a lamp, a light at my, on my path. A lamp to show me what is close and a light to show me what is far away. You see, the Bible is a book of light. You come to the Bible, it is as if you are enveloped and covered with light. Cannot hide. Well, I wish I can tell you more in the positive here. God is light. God is light. And as you know, further you go from light or from the light, more you go into darkness. And this is valid for all of us. And our darkness will be even bigger. You know, in heaven, do you love heaven? I'm sure you do. In heaven, there will be no artificial light. Nobody will go, switch off the light or switch on the light. This is here. Why? Because we read in the book of Revelation, God himself will be the light. And he has power to enlighten heaven by his power. So light guides us. You see, some people, this is mysticism. The Hindu or the Buddhist or Buddhism in Buddhism, suddenly, I received light. I had a revelation. That is mysticism. We are not speaking about that kind of light. That's actually darkness. And sometimes people confuse light with brighter mind. Oh, this man is luminous. He has great light. But we're not talking about that kind of light. The light is to have your mind being renewed by the Holy Spirit in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is real light. Oh, my dear friends, if you don't mind, let me just read one verse. One verse from 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. I wouldn't keep you long on that verse, just to show you the importance of light again. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29, I believe. And it speaks about light there. I could have taken you to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. But in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 19, maybe I jotted the wrong reference here, but it says that God is our light. God is our light, and he is the light of the believer. I come back to the reference probably later, but that's the verse. It speaks about God being the light of the believer. Now, number two, there in God is light, is the negative. Look at the verse again. And the first part says God is light. And the negative now it says, and in him is no darkness at all. The Greek actually says none. None. No darkness. None. In him. That's the meaning here. So different than us. God is so different than us. He has no darkness in him. He has no sin in him. God has no evil in him. God doesn't tempt anyone, and he's not tempted by anything. What a great God we have, again, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is foreign to God's nature. He's totally, you know, when you speak about the word holy, may I tell you the real meaning of the word holy? Oh, yes, the meaning we hear often is to be pure. But the real meaning of the word holy means separated from sin. And in that sense, the word holy could be applied only to God. But remember the command in 1 Peter chapter 1, be holy as I am holy. It is a command actually from the Old Testament and quoted by Peter. And God has called us not to license, not to uncleanness. That's why I read from Ephesians chapter 5. But he called us to holiness. And God's eyes are too pure, too holy to behold evil. We read in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. But number two, my second heading, after God is light. My second heading is walking in light. Or if we should consider first, walking in darkness. Look at verse 6. Verse 6, walking in darkness, my second heading. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. Walking in darkness. It's interesting that in John's writings, 10 times he speaks to us about darkness, 10 times in his writings. And always it speaks about sin and its derivatives, things that are derived, the babies of sin, always. And we live in a dark, morally corrupt world. And I explained to you the meaning of light, but now think about the meaning of darkness. Darkness speaks about evil. Darkness speaks about sin. Darkness speaks about confusion. Darkness speaks about ignorance, spiritual blindness. That's darkness. And falsehood, dishonesty, deceit, that's darkness. And you know the passage, I am sure here we can get it right, in John chapter 3, verse 19. You can see what the Lord Jesus Christ said about darkness in verse 19, John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hated the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see that? Most of things hidden, most of evil done is done at night in darkness. And it's all about the falsehood of this world. Walking in darkness means to be unsaved. That's the meaning of walking in darkness, to be unwise, to lack discernment. It is a way of life. The person loves his sins, he loves his lies, he loves his deceit, he enjoys his dishonesty. The believer, when he is dishonest, he weeps and he's distraught. He's crushed and he wants to run to the Lord in confession. But the non-believer wallows, he's happy. Oh, today I have been wicked to that man. It's pride for the wicked. He takes it as an exploit when he cheated somebody. But the believer doesn't walk in darkness. Oh, salvation, my brothers and sisters, look at the marvelous good news of salvation. When you are saved, it means you have been moved from darkness to light. When you have been saved, it means you have been moved from death to life. That's the beauty again of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are told to flee darkness, flee the works of darkness. Now, may I come to the implications? I have three implications, three marks of the believer as we proceed really to conclusion. I will do my best not to keep you long, but there are three marks for the believer who is walking not in darkness, but he's walking in the light of God. And they are all here before us. So number one, the believer walks in the light. Verse 7, look at it in verse 7. Verse 7. And it says there, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. So number one, the believer walks in the light. There are only two kinds of people. Either we are liars or fellow worshippers of God. Those are the two classes of people. We are either liars, that's what the verse says, verse 7. If we say we walk in the light as he himself is light, and we walk in darkness, we are liars. And the second people are those who are fellowshippers. They are fellowshippers with God. They fellowship with God. Conversion, my dear friend, it is as God has said, let there be light in this soul. Let there be light in that soul. That's conversion. It's a miraculous work of God. Oh, you remember we were sometime darkness. We were far from God. But now we are children of God. Let us walk in the light. You know, light has many properties. I won't disturb you with all the properties. But one of them, light helps plants to grow. So if the Bible is the light of God, then I need this book in order to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for our growth. Like light, so we have the light of the word of God. And God is holy, we should also be holy. He is light, we should walk in light. You know the passage, if you have never memorized that first, please do. Matthew 5, verse 16, Christ said, you are the light of the world. And he, in that verse, verse 16, he said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So be like your Father. Family likeness. If you know the children of somebody, a father, as soon as you look at the children, oh, you see the resemblance. So if God is our Father, when we are looked into, we should have that family likeness. There should be no confusion. If anyone claims to be a Christian, he should walk in light. And without light, we stumble and stop against so many obstacles. Walking in the light is to love truth and righteousness. And walking in the light actually means to be obedient. And believe me, John will explain that so much in chapter 2. We will come to it. You, every step, every verse you read is God is, John is telling, are you obedient? Obedience is better than sacrifice. It is to obey. Light helps us to avoid dangers. It removes our fears. Light is visible. You are like a city built on a hill. It cannot be hidden. And that's why the Christian shouldn't put his light under bushel, under bucket, if you prefer. The light should be visible to all to see. So you can see all these things. Paul, the mission of Paul was really to open people's eyes and to help them to come out from darkness. That was the mission of Paul. We read in Acts chapter 9 and in all his testimonies, when he gives his testimony, it's about preaching the gospel, that eyes, scales will fall from people's eyes and they will see the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Because the prince of this world has blinded their eyes, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So number one, the believer walks in light. And he's the light of our walk, Jesus Christ. He's the light of our lives. And he's the light of the world. In his light, you know the passage, Psalm 36, verse 9. In his light, we shall see light. So darkness will never overpower the light. Darkness, Satan will never win over the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember when Christ was on the cross of Calvary, there were 3 hours of darkness there. Did darkness won? Never. 3 days in the darkness of the grave. Did the grave win? No, never. He came out from the grave triumphantly. He conquered all his enemies, Satan, and all his demons. My dear friend, turn up the light. We read it in Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, you that sleepest, wake up. Come to the light and let the light of Jesus Christ shine upon your soul. That's the message again. But number two, look at number two. The second application here. Fellowship with one another. In verse 7, we have fellowship with one another. Last Bible study, I dealt with fellowship there. But fellowship with God leads to fellowship with the church. If a man loves Christ, he will love the local church. And if we walk in darkness, we are detached from the church. We distance ourselves and we become fault finders. You know, in my small experience, after more than 3 decades as a pastor, I met believers. They complain about the church. Oh, look at this church. There is no fellowship there. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says to us that if you really have fellowship with God, the church will never be boring for you. You will have also fellowship with the people. So fellowship, as I explained to you, it's not having a cup of coffee and a piece of cake. That is not fellowship. That is socializing. Fellowship is always around the gospel, around the Lord Jesus Christ, around his cause, around getting to know one another better. That's fellowship, my dear friends. You see, John says in verse 5, 6, and 7 here, if we say, in verse 6, if we say, there are people who are only professors, they are not possessors, they only profess. But they never have the Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't just say, do it. And darkness cannot coexist with light. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. What relationship there is between darkness and light, we read there. Amos 3:3. You know that verse? Can two walk together except they have agreed? But let me close. Number one, the believer walks in light. Number two, the believer has fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and with one another, with all the saints in the local church. Number three, look now, full cleansing, full purification. In verse 7, we read, Verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sins. And it's interesting that the word to cleanse there, we have it in English, is the word catharsis. You know, to cleanse completely. And we are cleansed first of all by conversion, number one. That's where your cleansing begins. Number two, you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It means that Jesus Christ died. The blood of Jesus Christ, he shed his blood. You know, I tell you this because in Islam, this is denied. They deny that he shed his blood. He shed his blood. Life is in the blood. We read in the book of Leviticus. And without blood, there is no remission of sin. But look, the word there and the blood of Jesus Christ, I can expand just on the expression Jesus Christ, but we leave it for now. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us. It is in the present tense. Do you see that? You are pure and you are being kept pure. And the cleansing goes on cleansing. It keeps you being pure, purified, not just once. The cleansing is continuous. The washing away is only by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, not anything we have done. The cleansing is by the blood, not by bleach. I don't have time to read for you Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 and 14, that the blood of Jesus Christ, more powerful than the blood of oxen and bullocks, to cleanse our conscience and to purify our hearts, the blood of Jesus Christ. We are cleansed as we walk in the light and as we have fellowship with one another. My dear friends, I promise as I close, how much sin God forgives us. How much? Some? Many? No, no, no. This is another Bible. And the Bible we are reading says all. You can go back home tonight remembering that in Jesus Christ, all your sins. It's the text that says it. We have fellowship with God by the umbilical cord of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are still united with Christ by his umbilical cord. And that blood was shed on the cross of Calvary for all his people. And it will never be undone. Only by his name and only by his blood. You remember in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, what was shed to cover them? The blood of Jesus Christ there. It's a picture when God slaughtered animals there. I don't know how many to dress them, but God did it. God did it. All Christians have fellowship with God. All Christians have fellowship with one another. And all Christians have all the forgiveness of their sins. All of them. That's why there is no hierarchy in the church. Oh, may the Lord help you to make the light of Christ to shine. No time to read Philippians 2, verse 15 and 16. We live in a generation, evil generation. But may the Lord make your light to shine and to be a witness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the devil, you know Martin Luther, the devil came to him and he said to him, listen, Martin Luther, you cannot be forgiven. Look at all the sins you have committed in your life. And Luther looked at the devil. This is actually a picture. There was no conversation between him and the devil. But he said to him, look, Satan, All what you said about my sins is true. I have committed them all. But in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says that, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleansed me from all my sins. So it is true, you are a sinner. You have corrupted yourself before God, but all your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. That is the power of light versus darkness. And darkness will never overpower the light.